Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Yeah, today marks 30 years since Gene Butler and Michael Flatley and the Riverdance troupe wowed audience at the Point Theatre and worldwide during Eurovision 1994. The Fergus Fitzpatrick, who's a lead dancer with Riverdance, is with us on the line today. Fergus, just listening now back to the song and the, you know, when you listen to audio and footage of the dance, does it still send shivers down your spine?
Every single time I hear the music, it still gives me goosebumps. Absolutely.
When were you involved with Riverdance, Fergus?
So I joined Riverdance in 2017. I was lucky enough to get in for an audition and then did a couple of shows in the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin and then went on my first tour in China later that year.
Okay, so you're still with them?
I'm still with them, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And so do you remember watching Riverdance at Eurovision this day 30 years ago?
Well, I wasn't born
You don't have that memory that the rest of us have then?
I don't have the first encounter memory, no. But I do have my own early memories of Riverdance, and they're absolutely like, I just remember completely falling in love with it straight away.
Right.
It just grasped me at my core, and I just I had to try and become part of it, you know?
Ciara Sexton, who's a professional Irish dancer, is with us as well, Fergus, on the line. You're a world champion and dancer and also a teacher as well. But you were with Riverdance too, Ciara, for a number of years.
Good afternoon. Yes, I was. I was with Riverdance for 6 glorious years and exactly the same as Fergus. Just when you hear the music, it all comes rushing back.
Yeah.
I don't think it will ever get old.
I don't know what age you are either, but do you have memories of Riverdance at the Eurovision?
I wouldn't be giving away my age, but yes,
you do, yeah.
And I can tell you, I watched their Eurovision performance and then asked for the VHS for my first Holy Communion.
Really?
Yeah, yeah,
wow.
That was the gift I wanted.
What a Holy Communion present. The tape of Riverdance at the Eurovision. What was it about it? Like, you were, I take it you were involved, or you did Irish dancing at the time, even at that young age, Ciara?
Yes, yeah, I danced for two amazing women, Marion and Roisin Turley, in the West Midlands in the UK. And, you know, I felt like time stood still. And everyone has their moment, where were you? I was in my front room, I was watching it with my family, and I just thought, oh my goodness, I have to do this. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'll get there, hopefully one day.
Yeah, because you were obviously very young at the time. You must have been in the early stages of even dancing classes or lessons, Ciara, at that stage.
I was. I don't even think I was dancing at that point. I think my teacher would refer to it as falling around a bit with style.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely spurred me on to continue dancing, and it inspired me to go into professional dancing.
I think I must have been around maybe 12 at the time. I know I did Irish dancing in my earlier years. I had stopped and quit, and it was watching Riverdance at the Eurovision as maybe an 11 or 12 year old that absolutely was the catalyst for me to go back in, you know, and start it up again and did it for a couple of years again then after that. And like, it was just such a turning point. It totally revitalised Irish dancing. It made it modern. It made it, because there was always this thing that it nearly wasn't cool to do when I was kind of a teenager, but there was something about Riverdance that changed that.
It was just, you know, performance Irish dance as we've never seen it. And that's all thanks to Moya Doherty, John McColgan, Michael Flatley, and, you know, the various other people that were involved, down to costumes, lights, the amazing Grammy award-winning score by Bill Whelan. It all just came together. And what happened was, it sparked this, first of all, the birth of the professional Irish dancer, but this worldwide phenomenon around the world that was people going to Irish dancing lessons in China, in Brazil, in places that we didn't know it would have ever reached. And I'm sure that they didn't even think that they would reach. But due to that performance, it was, Irish dancing was changed forever.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing, Fergus. I suppose for you then, growing up and always knowing Riverdance, it all of a sudden Irish dancing became something that you could, you know, really seriously turn into a full-time career if you were good enough, if you could get to that stage, whether it be the Riverdance or Lord of the Dance or any of the other dance troupes that would have travelled. But it sort of, it made it become something different.
Absolutely. Like, we are so grateful for Riverdance to have put the professional path like we're able to achieve our dreams because of Riverdance. Like we're so thankful that that all of that has happened, because now like the likes of myself and everyone else that grows up wanting to be part of a professional show like Riverdance, like we're so thankful that that has happened. And that's down to what all the creatives have done in Riverdance.
Mm. Dr. Catherine Foley, who's an associate professor of enterochoreology at the University of Limerick, is with us as well on the line today. Catherine, what impact do you think Riverdance had on Irish dancing?
Well, it was an extraordinary moment, actually. It was, for me, and I was there sitting at that moment watching it happen, and I had trained in Irish dance as well with Peggy MacTaggart in Cork. But for me, it was an empowering moment and a very important post-colonial moment, because it placed Ireland and Irish dancing globally. Because up to that point in time, many of us would have associated Irish dancing with Ireland and the Irish diasporic areas of the world. And in the diasporic locations, it would have been dancers whose parents or grandparents or neighbours had been Irish, would have sent their children to do Irish dancing classes. But after Riverdance, that changed dramatically. It was no longer associated just with Ireland and the Irish diaspora. It went beyond that. It went global. So you found dancers coming to learn Irish dance from places like Japan, Russia, Scandinavia, Eastern Europe. And what was fascinating for me, and I was running a master's degree in Irish traditional dance performance at the University of Limerick, is the people who were actually coming to do Irish dancing. Some of them hadn't gone to the sessions at the age of 4 and 5 and 6 and worked their whole way up. Many of them coming now had seen River Dance and they'd seen Lord of the Dance and the other stage shows, and they were fascinated by the dance form. So it had nothing to do with the fact that their parents or grandparents were Irish. It had to do with the fact that they found the dance form exciting. And many of them started taking up Irish dance at the age of 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
And some of them as adults started coming in to Irish dancing. So it became a global dance form. And I know people around the world would have set up schools of dance where they were teaching many different kinds of dance forms. You could have ballet classes, tap classes, and then all of a sudden you had Irish dancing sitting alongside that whole palette of movement systems that were available to young children or adults alike. So it was an extremely exciting moment. And I also believe that the whole notion of costumes that we had as Irish dancers, again, that changed with River Dance, because it became what people might regard as sexy.
It did, yeah. It totally changed it from the bendy curls and, you know, the doused and fake tan. It became really elegant.
Well, it did. It became it represented a contemporary Irish identity, not just for the dancers, but for the people themselves. And also changed people's perceptions of Irish dancing and Irish people themselves. We, for many decades, both since Irish dancing, as a term was invented by the Gaelic League, the cultural nationalist movement at the end of the 19th century, we found that as the decades evolved, that the dance, up to about the 1960s, was still embodying a kind of a cultural nationalism.
Okay.
And it was tied up with politics, the politics of the Gaelic League and the ideologies.
The history. Irish dancing.
Yes.
Susan Ginnity is with us as well on the line, Catherine. Susan, because you were part of the Riverdance performance back in 1994. Did you ever expect it to be as big as it was?
No, not at all. To be honest, when we started the rehearsals and we got to meet Michael and we got to meet Jean and we started the choreography, we kind of knew that we had something special, but it wasn't until the main event that we realised how the world was going to accept Riverdance.
How much of that do you put down to Jean Butler and Michael Flatley?
Well, Michael had this charm about him when he walked into the studio first. Like, I was only 15 doing the rehearsals for the show, and it was just his feet moved so fast. He used his arms, which we never used before. He moved across the floor so swiftly, and then Jean's elegance just balanced everything out. And it just worked perfectly.
It was probably the first time for a lot of people watching Irish dancing that you actually saw, you know, it being as a like a performance more so than just at, you know, kind of the competitive fesh level. It was so different to see it being carried out by people in performance mode.
Well, absolutely. And I think with the troupe arriving on after Jean and Michael doing their pieces, I think that was the wow factor, to have us all doing the same rhythm, same timing, same lift, same footwork all at the same time. I don't think the world had seen that before. So that was the new concept.
How did it change your life, Susan?
Oh, it changed it unbelievably. I was on tour. We went on tour the year after, and I stayed on tour for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and I met my husband on tour.
As a dancer?
As a dancer. He was a dancer, yeah. He's now a musician. So, yeah, it created... I think it molded, Riverdance molded me into the person I am today, in all aspects of work, in life, in a lot of ways, to be honest. We worked so hard. We were so dedicated to the show. The show came first, always. We respected everybody. We made great friendships. We're like, you know, a family at this stage. We're all still in contact, which is amazing. So, yeah.
Like, as Fergus mentioned a little bit earlier, Susan, it completely transformed the lives of so many people. And that's not to overstate it, but it really was the first time it opened doors to make something that was a pastime a career.
100%. And I think that's the main side of it, because Irish dancing as a hobby is such a dedication for the dancer, for the parents, for the families. And then you got to a certain age and that was it.
Yeah, you quit.
Hobby ended. Yeah.
And it wasn't cool. I'm trying to, even in thinking, Susan, about your, I would have been a couple of years maybe just younger than you, but there was a time in that sort of late 90s, you sort of reached an age where, you know, you were kind of been judged in school if you were still doing Irish dance. And, you know, you kind of had to give
100%.
It up. 100%. And all of a sudden, Riverdance changed it.
Yeah, and I even remember, you know, when we started the auditions and the rehearsals for the Eurovision, and I remember coming home and I was telling some of the, you know, my friends in school, and they were going, oh my God, I can't believe you're going to do Irish dancing on TV. And then I kind of backtracked. I was like, oh my God, I can't do this on TV. It's so uncool.
Can you imagine if you pulled out of that?
I know.
You would have been raging.
I said to my mom, I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this. You know, it's not really cool to be doing Irish dancing. But then the day after it, I came back into school and I realized, okay, we did make an impact in a good way and not in a bad way.
No, absolutely. It was game changing. There's no doubt about it. What sort of role did you play, Susan, in the original troupe?
So for Eurovision, I was troupe. There was myself and Sabrina. We were the two 15-year-olds, which we kind of got in a strange way because they were only auditioning for 16-year-olds, but they didn't actually have enough dancers. So they contacted my dance teacher and said, have you got any 15-year-olds that may pass as a 16-year-old?
So it was sort of your Nadine Coyle moment.
There you go. Absolutely. 100%. So that's how we got in. But yeah, it changed my life completely.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's 30 years, isn't it? I actually couldn't. I was really surprised at that today. Maybe I don't want to acknowledge how much older I'm getting, but I couldn't believe it's 30 years ago.
I know. I'm feeling my age today. Put it that way.
Do you still dance, Susan, or have you involvement?
I do. I teach adult Irish dance classes.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do. And I do a lot of kids camps. So I do them on school holidays and I do some workshops for different classes around the country.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm still very busy with it.
Brilliant. Well, I don't know how many years I've threatened to go back to it, because there's nothing like the fitness level you have when you're doing dancing. It's just incredible.
And that's it. You know, a lot of the ladies that do my adult classes, you know, some of them now, I hope they don't give out to me, and I hope I don't get texts. But some of them would be in their 60s, and, you know, they're fighting fit, and they love the classes.
Yeah.
And they all say the fitness level from Irish dancing is something completely different that you won't find anywhere
else.
No,
you don't. And if you ever, if anyone who spends for ages in the gym trying to tone your legs, there's nothing like Irish dancing to do it,
100%.
To do it for you. Susan, listen, it's been lovely to chat to you on the programme today. Susan Ginnity there, who was part of the first or the original Riverdance troupe 30 years ago. Also, Dr. Catherine Foley from the University of Limerick, and Fergus Fitzpatrick and Kira Sexton. Thanks a million for sharing your memories with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.